Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, and as you just heard on the news, we're getting reports this morning of a possible deal in the works on congestion pricing for Manhattan, despite yesterday's apparent long-term setback for the idea. We had heard that Sheldon Silver, the Assembly Speaker, had only agreed to set up a commission to study the idea and report back next spring. Now, this is not a deal yet this morning, as far as we know, and perhaps it won't become a deal, but something is happening to try and get something done in time for the federal grant money that's currently at stake, and we will try to sort it out now. With me first is New York One political director Bob Hart. He's also the executive producer of their Inside City Hall program. Hi, Bob. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay. Intrigued. What's happening?
There's something percolating, and I'm not sure if it's a giant thermos full of political coffee or just like a small cup. I spoke with the governor's spokeswoman, Christine Anderson, a little while ago, and she said that the governor and the Assembly Speaker, Shelley Silver, and the Senate Majority Leader, Joe Bruno, and Mayor Bloomberg may have some sort of compromise plan on congestion pricing. There's no word on what that plan would be. There's no word if this is just talk to mask up what was a very bad day yesterday for Mayor Bloomberg. But I would just say stay tuned. The mayor right now is having some press conference about a union agreement with the sanitation union, and then he's going to have another press conference at the temporary home of City Hall. This is out in Brooklyn in about an hour or so. So we'll see what's going on, but things are still a little bit up in the air.
Let's give people a glimpse behind the scenes here. Earlier this morning, I guess it was about 8 o'clock or so, there was an Associated Press report indicating a deal. And
right.
That, of course, started a flurry of activity in our newsroom, in your newsroom, newsrooms all over the state. And the AP has since softened its own reporting to say a proposal, not a deal. But as I'm looking at the wire, the latest version of their story still says, quote, there's a new tentative proposal that now has the support of one of the other major players involved in the issue, State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. So AP still seems to be reporting that Silver is now on board, and that would be huge if it's true. And then I guess Silver would still have to bring on board a lot of his members of the Assembly, people who represent boroughs other than Manhattan and some of the suburbs, who have been really skeptical about this.
Yeah, I mean, last night we were hearing that Assembly Speaker Silver, or we weren't hearing, we knew that he was willing to sign some sort of a letter saying, hey, we're going to study this, we'll create a commission to look at this, which he thought would be enough to get the federal funding from Washington, the $500 million that's been dangled over the city like a giant carrot. But supporters of the plan, like Strap Hangers campaign, among others, are saying, hey, listen, we don't think that letter is going to be enough. So maybe this is going to be a letter with a big asterisk on it to further advance things. But this much I'll guarantee, whatever compromise we're talking about, this isn't what the mayor was talking about in terms of charging cars to come into Manhattan. Whatever this is going to be is going to have to be severely watered down to please the Assembly Speaker Silver. I just can't imagine it's going to be some sort of a toll plan.
Watered down to exclude a toll, but somehow deal with congestion? I mean, if it's not a toll, then it's not congestion pricing. It's congestion something else.
Exactly. I mean, you and I, obviously, we're speculating a lot here right now, but it could be something, some sort of congestion plan with a promise of studying pricing. That's really kind of like a diet, soda version of the real thing. So we're just really going to have to stay tuned. But I cannot imagine that it's going to be a toll thing, a toll plan that's locked in. It'll be probably some sort of a promise to look at this with some other things. And again, they may not even agree on anything, when all is said and done. There's been so many things thrown out there over the last month, this is going to happen, this will be tied with pay raises for lawmakers, and then everything's falling apart at the last minute. I spoke to someone yesterday who said, well, things were really great. This is about 5:30 in the afternoon, and he said, until about 15 minutes ago. So, I mean, there's a lot of horse trading going on that we're just not even hearing all about.
Right. And people are calling in already. We can take phone calls. How about this, folks? What would it take for you, if you have been skeptical of congestion pricing, to bring you on board? Is there anything, if you've been hearing all the arguments, such as former Bloomberg aide Esther Fuchs on our program yesterday and others saying, look, this is going to generate needed revenue for mass transit improvements that we have no way else of getting. This is going to mean better health in the inner cities. There's another story in the papers today about how living near highly trafficked roads leads to hardening of the arteries. This is not a New York City study. You know, this is not generated by Mayor Bloomberg's health commissioner. This is from somewhere way outside of New York. So there's health. There's revenue for mass transit. There's the discomfort of congestion itself. Business leaders like this because they say it will help economic growth in the city because it'll be more pleasant for business leaders and for businesses to come and do business in Midtown. So with all those arguments on the pro side, if you've still been skeptical, what could bring you on board? What could lead you not to vote your state legislator out of office if they vote yes on a congestion pricing plan? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's take a call right now from Aaron in Stamford. Aaron, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, hi. I think that most of the traffic in New York is taxis, and taxi drivers aren't very good drivers. Like, when they pick somebody up or drop you off, they stop right in the middle of the traffic lane. And on certain occasions, I saw a taxi block a fire truck from going by.
Right. Well, anybody who drives for a living where time is money on a moment-to-moment basis has incentive to do some, let's say, relatively high-risk maneuvers, eh, Bob?
That's completely true. And another thing we should point out was Mayor Bloomberg very smartly, in terms of the whole political juggling of this proposal, exempted taxis and black car limos from his proposal.
Entirely.
Which you know, as we all know, the taxi industry is very, very powerful politically. And also, it makes a lot of sense as well, I think, policy-wise, to exempt the taxis as well. So that's not been an issue. And in terms of the caller's other complaint, that's something that the Taxi and Limousine Commission is supposedly cracking down on, these cabs that just stop right in the middle of the avenue.
So that's one detail that a lot of people may not have known about taxis and black cars being exempt. There are so many other little pieces of wool in this that, you know, are knit together into the whole sweater of at least the proposal that people don't really know. For example, it would only be in effect 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., no charge in the other 12 hours of the day. The charge would only be once per day, not multiple times if you go back and forth. Apparently, it would include people who live within the congestion pricing zone below 86th Street once a day if they drive north of 86th Street and cross that threshold. And there are others, Bob. So there's so much, you know, that could mitigate it for some people or make it worse for some people that may change in some kind of compromise, but that really isn't very well understood.
No, and it's very technologically complicated that if you are moving your car across the block because of alternate side parking, that you're exempt supposedly. But if you move your car four blocks, somehow that kicks in if you live within the zone. Technologically, to me, it seems very, very complicated. We've spoken to Deputy Mayor Dan Dockroff. Well, how the heck are you going to implement this? And they'll basically have just told us, well, the technology is there. I just think there's a lot of room for error. You know, if you drive around the block because you're just moving your car, how you know, are you going to be able to prove that you weren't driving, you know, five blocks to the deli? It just there's a lot of questions out there about this.
How about that person who lives on 85th Street and routinely looks for alternate side of the street parking at, you know, a quarter to 11 every morning in that zone between 85th and 88th Street? They go back and forth and back and forth. They're going to have to pay congestion pricing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. And, you know, I don't think even City Hall knows the answer at this point.
Yael in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hello, Yael.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, and you?
So my question is really related to, I'm a healthcare provider, I'm a midwife, and I deliver at 59th and 10th Avenue. And I just don't really see how I'm supposed to get to a birth on time, you know, or why I should have to pay for getting to the hospital ASAP. So, you know, for me, I just, that's my big concern.
Well, as far as on time, my understanding is there would be no
toll booths. When you have to be there and you have a commuter train that goes every 30 minutes into the city during commute time and then every hour, you don't have an option to go any other way but drive if you need to get to a berth.
Right. So Bob, this is a question that comes up that I actually don't know the answer to. Yael is a midwife. I've heard it from doctors. We heard from a rabbi the other week who sometimes travels with funeral processions that may have to cross the line. Are these kinds of folks exempt?
I haven't heard of any such exemption for these people at all. I mean, I guess what the mayor would argue to our caller here would be that, oh, well, we'll increase the number of trains with all this wonderful federal transportation money that the city would supposedly be getting. But it is a real problem. I mean, there are people coming in, you know, who have no choice, who are called in at the last minute, who would definitely be affected by this plan.
We will continue in a minute with Bob Hart, New York One political director, and also joining us will be one of the chief opponents of a congestion pricing plan in the New York State Assembly, Democrat Richard Brodsky of Westchester. Maybe he knows what's going on with this possible deal this morning. So stay with us, Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Lehrer on WNYC, and again, if you're just joining us, we're getting reports this morning of a possible deal in the works on congestion pricing for Manhattan. I stress possible, despite yesterday's apparent long-term setback for the idea when it seemed to end in nothing more than a commission to study the idea over the next 9 months or so, which would lock out any possibility of the federal grant of $500 million or so that supposedly had a deadline of yesterday. So this is not a deal yet, as far as we know, and perhaps it won't become a deal, but the AP is reporting what they call movement in Albany on the bottleneck that's holding up the congestion pricing plan for Manhattan, and it quotes Governor Spitzer's office saying there is a tentative proposal that now has the support of one of the other major players involved in the issue, the big one, State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver of Manhattan, since the other two, Spitzer and Bruno, were apparently already on board as of yesterday, though I'm not even sure about that, really. But we've been speaking with New York One political director Bob Hart, and also joining us now is one of the lead opponents of a congestion pricing plan in the New York State Assembly, Democrat Richard Brodsky of Westchester. Assemblyman, thanks so much for coming back on.
Nice to be back, Brian.
What do you know?
Well, I think there is continuing discussion, as you just mentioned, but along the lines of what the Assembly has been talking about for months now, and that is to say that if the mayor expects to get authority today to impose a congestion fee, that's not going to happen. What's being discussed and reflected on is a commission to study not just congestion pricing, but the issues of congestion and mass transit funding in New York. That would yield a report, and that report would be voted on by March 31st next spring. And prior to that, the mayor would not have the ability to impose a fee. Now, he would have the ability, and this is what I think the difference is, to go back to the federal government and say whatever magic words he needs to say in order to keep the federal financial deadline and application process moving forward. So the essential authority of the legislature to set the policies dealing with fees on streets remains intact. There'd have to be a city council vote. The federal money would actually have to be received. There, as I said, would have to be a study of alternatives to congestion pricing as well, but that no fee could be collected until the legislature, both houses and the governor, agreed on one if they did that next spring.
Do you think a commission to study a fee for the next 9 months would be enough to get this $500 million out of Washington?
Well, I don't think anybody knows. The mayor has become sort of the interpreter of the smoke signals coming from the Bush administration. Now, whether that will satisfy them or not, we don't know. The mayor says it will be.
Will be? Wasn't he saying up to yesterday that it won't be?
Well, that's one of the things, as you recall our last conversation, Brian. This is sort of like the Jet Stadium fight, where many people, myself included, opposed him on the Jet Stadium. He fought it and insisted that there was a deadline dealing with the Olympics. Now, there wasn't. If this language that we're talking about today is sufficient for the mayor, then I think you can safely and fairly say that his representations going into yesterday were not accurate.
Well, there was a deadline dealing with the Olympics at that time, right? The stadium deal went down,
no.
And days later we got turned down for the Olympics.
Yeah, but there was no deal to have an approval for the stadium. The deadline. Stadium in Athens didn't get built until a week before the games opened. So what the mayor was saying a couple of years ago was you have to have approval of the stadium before they consider it. That was never true. There was never, in our opinion, a deadline for the federal money here. And again, most important is not whether there's $300 or $400 million of federal money, but whether this is a good idea for the people of the city of New York.
Right.
I was listening to some of the questions you were asking.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, respectfully, they're not details of the heart of the concern. We're going to have to continue to look at them as we always said we were willing to do.
You say those details that we were talking about, what time it takes effect, whether you have to pay multiple times in a day, those things are not the details at the heart of your concern? Is that what you just said?
Well, my concerns, as you may recall, Brian, exist on a couple of levels. I'm not a supporter of pricing mechanisms to distribute scarce public goods. I don't think we should make ability to pay what depends on access to Midtown Manhattan. This is part of the gentrification of downtown. If you have a BMW and it can afford the parking fee and the congestion fee and the $150 Broadway tickets and the $300 meal, you're going to be able to get downtown. If you want to take your kids from Queens in to see the tree at Rockefeller Center, you may not be able to do that.
The F train goes there. The W train goes there. The D train goes there.
Fine. If you're from Queens and you live near those stops, that's true. And if you don't, you're out. Now, whether I'm right or wrong is, frankly, not as important as trying to point out that these were completely unaddressed by anything the mayor was talking about. For example, this alternate side of the street parking thing, which is real. Nothing in the bill excluded people who were moving their cars for alternate side of the street parking.
And crossing back and forth between 86th Street.
And none of that. And the taxi cabs is a great one. Of the single greatest automobile congestion factor in Midtown are taxis. Now, if your theory is you want to discourage the use of cars, why exclude taxis? Especially since the income of taxi cab riders are way, way up, $127,000, while the people from the outer boroughs paying the congestion fee average $42,000.
Bob Hart from New York One, you want to get in on this? Do you have any questions for Assemblyman Brodsky yourself?
I don't necessarily have a question for the Assemblyman, but I think we could all agree, the Assemblyman and anyone who's watched the political system, the longer things take, the less likely, at least in Albany and New York City, they are to happen. I just kind of feel that this is a slow death by study. And by bringing the city council in on board, it's just one more giant hurdle that will need to be left by this program. And then we're talking about next spring. I think the longer this is drawn out, the less likely that we'll ever see this happening.
Well,
I think someone would probably agree with me.
Well, interestingly enough, I don't think the mayor does, because yesterday, after having this explosion in Albany, where he apparently was not persuasive with either the Senate majority or the Democrats in the Senate, this is a step forward from where he was at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. It was DED dead. Now it's on life support, if that's the metaphor we're going to use. Having said that, with all due respect to getting it done, if this is something that people of the city want, the city council should be at least opining on it. And if it is a good idea, in spite of my objections, then we ought to be debating the substance of the proposal. The mayor did you can see why he made so much money starting off as a salesman for Radio Time. He's a great salesman, and that's part of what we need in a mayor. I don't fault him for it. But in the end, the questions that you've been discussing that we've raised in the report we issued last week are unanswered, and it would not be responsible for anybody to go forward with a decision to change the relationship between the people and their government the way this does without getting much better answers. It may be a slow death, or it may be a slow life. In any event, it's going to be thorough and fair.
Assemblyman, when you talk about city council getting into the act, we had heard that this was really a function of the state legislature, partly because of, the nature of the law and home rule such as it is, and partly because it does affect people from multiple counties, not just New York City. So the state legislature and the governor had to come on board, not necessarily the city council in an official capacity. Are you saying that there's talk to set up some kind of mechanism where the city council would also have to formally approve the idea?
Yes. The agreement that is being discussed even now has a set of principles involved. That is, no fee without further legislative action, that at least $350 million of federal money must be received or approved for the city by October 31st, that the city council would have to take a position, that we would receive the report and take action by next spring, by March 31st, and that the study would be not just of congestion pricing, but of alternatives to congestion pricing that may work to solve the problem of congestion without imposing such a regressive fee.
And you're convinced that that is all that is under consideration this morning by Shelley Silver?
As opposed to an actual approval of the fee?
Correct.
The answer is yes, I know that to be the case, but more importantly than just having spoken to the speaker this morning, we had a long conference with about 70 members of the legislature yesterday, about 2.5 hours. There was no support on the members. And contrary to a lot of what we hear, the speaker is not going to be able to, nor want to, announce an agreement that the membership of the assembly doesn't like.
What else did he tell you?
The mayor's proposal.
What else did he tell you this morning?
Essentially, what I'm talking to you about, that there is no deal yet, that this was consistent, roughly, and I say roughly because of this additional language on the federal application, with what the assembly's always been saying, that it's the responsible thing to do. I mean, if we are actually taxing people basically who make between $40,000 and $50,000 a year, is that a social policy we want to adopt? That kind of debate hasn't been had. And with all due respect, part of it is the press, who much admires and likes Mike Bloomberg, has decided that these are all details that can be decided later. They're not. They're the heart and soul of a huge public policy initiative. Nowhere else in the nation does it exist. And we're going to take a serious look at it if the mayor wants us to.
Did Speaker Silver say anything to you this morning that indicates that he thinks we can still get that $500 million of federal money just to study the issue?
What he said yesterday and what he said publicly and what he said again to me this morning was very simple. The mayor says this will work for the feds. The mayor's been the only one describing what the federal government thinks. The mayor's position today seems different than it was yesterday. But,
Brian,
you know, if we can be cooperative in this, we're going to be.
Bob Hart, go ahead.
The mayor just released a statement just a minute ago saying, I'm quoting here, "Though we continue to talk to the legislature and the governor, it's sad to note that after 3 months of working with all parties to address their questions, the failure of the state assembly to act in time on a deadline imposed by the federal government is a terrible setback for clean air and to our central commitment to fight climate change." I'm not going to read the whole statement, but it goes on. It basically it doesn't sound all that optimistic, but it says, you know, we'll continue to talk. We'll continue to press for, this is we, meaning the Bloomberg administration, we'll continue to press for real solutions. We will work to implement the initiatives contained within our plan. Business as usual in Albany may be an impediment to congestion pricing at this time, but we'll still try to make a difference for the future of the city.
I mean, with all due respect to the mayor, there's a tiny bit of sour grapes in that. The questions we asked have not been answered. Brian, you have the report. You can see the questions.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor did not succeed in his persuasive task yesterday, as you can see in the reports and the Times and elsewhere. Their expressed willingness to engage in a thoughtful discussion, which is all we want, stopped about a week ago.
But it seems like from the statement that Bob just read, that apparently the mayor's office just released, this is indicating the collapse of any talks this morning.
I can't read the mayor's mind. I think they are, if they want a continued constructive discussion with consideration of a lot of congestion issues, including congestion pricing, they have partners. If this is take it or leave it, like the Jet Stadium, it's going to go the way of Jet Stadium.
Assembly,
it's up to the mayor.
Assemblyman Bresky, before you go, just lay out for our listeners some of the alternatives that you think could actually ease the congestion in Manhattan without imposing the fee.
A couple of the easy ones are actually enforce existing laws with respect to block the box, truck deliveries, incentivize better behavior by trucks, especially in terms of deliveries out of congestion period, incentivize use of mass transit. Consider, for example, reducing dramatically mass transit fares during peak hours. And then the thing I have asked to be looked at, which they have not been willing to do, is the use of congestion rationing, in which everybody shares the burden of reducing traffic in Manhattan.
What does that mean, congestion rationing?
If your license plate ends in a 1, you don't get in on the 1st, the 11th, the 21st, and the 31st.
Ooh, this is like the gas lines of the 70s.
Nice try, Brian. You've been a wonderful advocate for your position, but I don't think that's a fair characterization.
I don't have a position on this.
Of my position. Those things may work, and they may not work. But the mayor's attempt to bully through a fundamental change, class-based access to New York City streets, has not been persuasive. We're going to be as constructive as we can be, but we have a job to do here. And whether the mayor likes it or some of our friends in the press and the advocacy community like it is important to us, but it's not going to move us if we think it's the wrong thing.
Well, how do you do rationing by odd and even license plate numbers for those same people we were talking about before? Emergency workers who have to go in and out for births and other medical procedures, people who are doing alternate side of the street parking, going up and down across 86th Street?
It's not clear, Brian, and it's not a perfect suggestion. And that's why we haven't said you must do congestion rationing. All we've said is it's got to be looked at as seriously as you're looking at congestion pricing. The virtue of it is that it applies to the Chevrolet and the BMW equally. And for those of us who have struggled to bring a social justice perspective to public policy, it has that enormous virtue. The criticism of it, interestingly enough, is that rich people will buy more than one car. And we think there are answers to that. You can set up a license plate system that takes that into account. But put that all aside. I may be wrong about that. What we have been desperately fighting for is an opportunity to have a reasoned, civil conversation about this. And as I said, over the last week, that really broke down. The mayor did a very good job at our public hearing. He was thoughtful. He said, if we can't persuade you, you shouldn't vote for it. And then starting last week, he and his allies engaged in essentially pressure tactics on the money and personal attack kinds of things, which did not advance his own position. If he wants to return to a debate about ideas, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, that's his problem.
Okay. Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, Democrat from Westchester, a lead opponent of the congestion pricing idea. Thank you very much for coming back on today. And we continue for a few more minutes with New York One political director Bob Hart. Bob, I now have that statement from the mayor as well, which was just released. And again, the quote of the mayor, as you read it before, although we continue to talk to the legislature and the governor, it's sad to note that after 3 months of working with all parties to address their questions, the failure of the state assembly to act in time, so he's blaming the state assembly, to act in time on a deadline imposed by the federal government is a terrible setback for clean air and to our critical commitment to fight climate change. So, Bob, it goes on from there, but no matter which side of this issue anybody is on, it sounds like the mayor is declaring with some finality that there's been a setback and blaming the assembly.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It doesn't preclude that a deal could be made later today, but it's not an optimistic statement. He's pointing fingers in a way that he really hasn't done yet on this fight at the state assembly. And it's not an optimistic statement at all. Now, he's going to have a press conference at 11:30. I'm sure he'll field some questions about this and go more at length about it. But it's certainly not the kind of a deal is imminent kind of story that we were hearing off of the Associated Press wire earlier this morning.
The statement goes on to say, I can't describe motives to the lack of action in Albany, but I can definitely say the environment and future quality of life in New York took a beating. So I can't describe motives to the lack of action in Albany. Can you break it down for us as well as you can see? We certainly heard Assemblyman Brodsky's arguments. Obviously, a lot of people in his district don't like the idea because they would be charged. Any other motives to Sheldon Silver other than maybe this is one case where, despite the three men in a room reputation, he really did not have the power to bring a majority of his house on board?
I think he did have the power to bring them on board. The question is, what could he show them in return. And there would have to be some sort of trading going on. Hey, listen, maybe some of you didn't want to vote for this. I basically asked you or coerced you to, but in exchange, we got A, B, and C. I got you pay raises. I got you this. Another thing isn't happening. We'll never know. But certainly it would have been an uphill battle that Silver couldn't have simply said to his members, hey, we're doing this, with probably at least something to point to, saying, hey, well, I got this in return from the governor or the mayor, and I guess that wasn't in the cards. No, you're right also. I mean, obviously, you know, we're very cynical sometimes. There certainly was a huge policy aspect of this as well. There's a lot of lawmakers in the assembly from Queens, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Staten Island, who certainly would have to explain to their constituents, hey, this is why I voted this way.
You know what else I wonder? If there's some kind of alliance shaping up as a result of this between Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Spitzer to really hammer the legislature from all directions. Because, again, reading from the statement that the mayor just released, while business as usual in Albany may be an impediment to congestion pricing at this time, we can still make a difference for the future of our city and create a greener, greater New York. So business as usual in Albany, that's obviously a knock at the legislature. And as it said earlier in the statement, the knock is very specifically at the Assembly and Sheldon Silver. And we know that Governor Spitzer has been in a war over what Spitzer characterizes as business as usual with the leader of the other house, the Senate, Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno. So one Democrat, one Republican from the legislature, one getting hammered by the mayor, the other getting hammered by the governor. Is there some kind of alliance there that could result in some kind of change in Albany?
I think there could be, certainly, that would be very interesting to see. There's one other point as well, and Jesse Ventura discovered this when he was governor of Minnesota and had no political base. Now that the mayor has formally said goodbye to the Republican Party, there's less of a political alliance than ever with some of the characters in the Assembly and the Senate. Obviously, there's a strong financial connection between the mayor and the state Senate Republicans. The mayor has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Senate Republican campaign war chest over the years, but there's no ideological connection whatsoever, at least not in title. So there's no Republican base, there's no Democratic base. He has to go hat in hand as the man above the fray. But I think some Republican lawmakers probably feel less enamored than ever of the mayor because of that.
All right. So we'll see what the mayor says at his press availability at 11:30. We may carry some of that. I think we have yet to decide that. But it looks like the doubt over whether there was a deal in the works on congestion pricing this morning may have been resolved in the last few minutes, and resolved probably, Bob, in the opposite direction than where we thought it was headed when we started.
Yeah, I agree with you. But then again, you never know with Albany, and you never know with political deal making. But But the one thing I think we can all agree on is there's going to be no announcement today that some sort of toll plan will be agreed upon. I think the most that we can expect to hear is some sort of a version of what the Assemblyman Brodsky was saying, that maybe there's an agreement about a commission enough to satisfy the Washington officials who will be doling out that $500 million. But the mayor's deal, I would say, at least today, is definitely dead in the water.
Closure at least for 24 hours. Out of the mouth of Bob Hart, New York One's political director. Bob, thanks so much.
It's always a pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, how to spot, avoid, and bust spin during the presidential campaign. Stay with us.